I am Planta on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. There's a lamppost just outside 131 Water Street here in Vancouver that bears a plaque. These plaques, by the way, found throughout the city are a project of the Vancouver Public Library, BC Book World, and the VPLs Foundation, and they mark the notable authors, stories, and personalities in the city. The plaque on Water Street honors Mona Fertig at the original site of the literary storefront, a legendary meeting place that was a store, an event space, and for the 7 years or so it was in existence, a place for the literary community to gather. You can read about it in Trevor Carolyn's book, The Literary Storefront, The Glory Years, which was published in 2015. He was on the show when that book came out. And Mona joins me now to catch up, talk about the book she's recently published. She, of course, runs Mother Tongue Publishing, and this past spring published The Summer Book. It's a collection of 24 essays, humor, and meditations on summer. Since we're talking in early November and snow is being forecasted, a return to summer is due. I'll get Mona to tell us about this collection and the terrific writers part of this book. There's Brian Brett, Ann Cameron, Daniela Elza, Eve Joseph, Des Kennedy, Grant Lawrence, J.J. Lee, Christine Lowther, and many more. Mona is, of course, the champion of the Unheralded Artists of BC series, and they're coming out with the 10th and final volume this fall, a biography of Arthur Pitts. That's written by Carrie Mason, and that'll be out shortly. It's always good to catch up with Mona, who I reached this morning from Salt Spring Island, where she runs Mother Tongue with her husband, Peter Huss. MotherTonguePublishing.com is the website. Season after season, they put out great books. Please welcome back to the Plant Online program, Mona Fertig. Ms. Fertig, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us.
You're welcome.
So we're talking in early November, and you know, we were just chatting before we started about what it looks like there at, on Salt Spring, and I was telling you what it looks like here in Vancouver.
Yes.
It's not summer, definitely.
No.
Yeah.
But we did have a glorious fall.
We did. And the summer was pretty good, too. I mean, for those of us on the coast, near the water, it was nice.
Mm-hmm.
Our friends in the central part of the province, unfortunately, had to deal with fires.
Yeah.
And the smoke. I guess we dealt with the smoke here in Vancouver. But, I mean, generally in British Columbia, summers are just glorious, aren't they? And that's what you capture in this book.
Yes, that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to capture something positive, some timeless memories and something you can sit down even in winter, and especially in winter, and just look back and wonder, where did summer go?
Yeah. You know me, Mona. I haven't traveled this province very much. And so what I enjoyed about the book was where all these places, where all these authors took me, these places that they took me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and not too far from where I am. There's something really beautiful about this place, isn't there?
Yes, there is. And I found what connected all the stories, you know, from the interior to Tofino to, you know, up at Madeira Park,
uh-huh.
is water. All the stories had water in them.
Yeah.
And I found that very interesting.
Yeah, and that's not something that you say you told the contributors to write about it. They just came up with it themselves, and that's what I think, I guess, ties this province together, isn't it? This proximity to the water and how it makes everyone feel.
That's right. I think it is reflective and enjoyable, and it takes away all our angst, I think. I think water is quite healing.
Yeah.
And I think it's has a very kind of psychic, intuitive nature we are drawn to, and it's alive, you know,
yeah.
it's calming. You know?
Yeah.
So that was very fascinating for me.
Yeah, as still as it is,
yes.
You know, there's something going on there.
Yes.
And we take from it what we need, I guess, don't we? Whether it's the fish or the water itself.
That's right. I sit at my pond, a little pond, and I whistle for my goldfish.
Uh-huh.
And the birds swoop around, and there's lots of life, and it reflects. You can see the plane reflected and
yeah.
the flies above and the grasses, and it's very it's fascinating. It's always changing the light
yeah.
with water. So I think all that was quite a powerful link that linked everything.
So we wrote each other over the summer,
yes.
you know, just checking in with one another. And you mentioned near the end of summer that you were going to take a break, and just spend time on the beach. And I guess that's what you do regularly, do you?
Yes, we go up to Savory Island, which is, you know, a beautiful place, and it's off the grid, and it's away from the world. And it takes a while to decompress from, you know, work, but it's just fabulous, and it's just a little place on the beach, and white sand, and it's so peaceful, very meditative, and really restorative.
Yeah, a lot of people think of going to foreign places for this sort of stuff, but
yeah.
I mean, again, it's just the proximity of it. It's staggering sometimes.
Yeah, no, I don't need to travel the world. All I know where I want to be. I want to be Salt Spring or Savory, and it has Savory has the. I mean, it's a tiny island.
Yeah.
It's an escape, but I don't need to look for white sand or quiet and peaceful beaches or that kind of wilderness elsewhere. I've found it, so I don't need to search the world. You know.
Yeah.
So I think that I'm lucky in that way, and I'm not really a traveler anyway.
Yeah. You grew up here in Vancouver.
Yeah, I grew up in Kitsilano by the beach.
Right.
And yeah.
It's always been a part of you, hasn't it?
Yes. The beach is my heaven. That's I, you know, even when it's a miserable day, like it's pouring today, it's if I go to the beach, which I do with the dog, I walk often in the beach is here. It's very it just restores, you know, and it calms, and it's a good place to think.
Yeah.
You know. Even if it's gray and cloudy, it doesn't matter. I always find it uplifting.
Yeah. Now, I understand that at one point you and Peter lived, you both lived here in Vancouver, you lived in Burnaby for a bit, and then you lived, was it Delta or White Rock?
It was first in Beech Grove, Tawasin.
Uh-huh.
And Beech Grove.
Yeah.
And then we moved to Ladner.
I see, yeah.
To Salt Spring.
Yeah, and so, I mean, you're from this part of the world.
Yeah.
Peter's from Liverpool, and yet he took to it very quickly, didn't he?
Yeah, well, he's that's right by the ocean. It's very much a sea town, a port town. So, I mean, we both have to be by the sea, you know, so that's really necessary. I lived in Montreal for a short time, and I couldn't handle not being able to step into the sea, you know.
It's funny. I guess, it's not funny, but I mean, because you've had this connection to it your whole life, I guess it's such a part of you that you do miss it, don't you, when you're away from it?
Yeah, you do, and I think other people like lakes, and that they're lovely too. They're just water is really important, and I don't know, found that most people had when they talked about the summer story, when they wrote about them, they came, you know, there was water moments in there. And some fabulous pieces. I was really impressed with the variety and the different voices, and I loved all of them. And so it was a fabulous book to work on, and the authors were great to work with. I had experienced essayists and also writers who were doing their, you know, first essays or you know, early essays.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had, you know, a group events, which was great.
Yeah, the 24 writers, a lot of them we know, obviously, a lot of them I've had on this show, all very talented writers. How did this book start in terms of did you seek the writers first, or did they have pieces that they, say, pitched to you, and then you thought, well, this is a good way to build a collection? How did it work to put the summer book together?
Well, how it worked is that Peter and I are political junkies, and we got overwhelmed with the politics, especially of the Trump and the election.
Right.
And it was like we watched it nonstop forever. And then all the angst in the world and, you know, the suffering and the violence and the homelessness. And I just wanted a little positive treasure to kind of just a little feather on the scale, just to tip it a bit more. I mean, tip it. It didn't tip it. But
yeah.
Just to offer something to the world that was positive. And that was my, and I really, I really felt it. And we had a big election referendum here on the island.
Right.
And, you know, got pretty nasty. And so it's all important, I think, just to, you know, do something positive. And I always loved, you know, the beach in the summer. And so I just thought I'd ask. And that was a hard part, was selecting, you know, writers, because, you know, I like a variety, and then I wanted different parts of the province, and it wasn't as easy as you think.
Yeah.
Not a lot of people, not a lot of writers work on essays, and Canada isn't really well known for their essayists yet, but I might do a winter book now. Well, we'll see, but it was, everyone really was excited about it. They really loved the idea.
Yeah.
And they all seem to be hungry, too, for just a positive project.
Yeah. I'm looking at the list here on the back of the book of all these writers.
Yeah.
And we're very lucky, aren't we, in this province to have a surfeit of and a variety of great writers.
Yes, we are. It's quite a literary province. Quite a culture here.
Yeah. And so working with them, was that fun in terms of say, commissioning them for a piece and then working with them? I don't know how much editing went on.
Yeah. Oh, it was great. Most works didn't need hardly any editing, which was fantastic. Because some of the books I do, you know, especially some of the art books, are so intensive. They need so much work. And so this was really a breath of fresh air for me, and many publishers would know what I'm talking about. But very few needed any work. And it was just a little bits here and there. And I put it in an order. I worked on the order, and then I really wanted art, not photographs.
Yeah.
And that's the different thing we have. We don't usually see photographs.
Yeah. There's great art in here. A lot of some stuff from Peter that's terrific.
Yes. And Gary Sim is, his etchings and his drawings and that, a lot of them are from Savory Island. I mean, they're just beautiful. And then, of course, Bryony Penn had some watercolors. And, yeah, it's a nice alternative to, you know, the usual beautiful BC photographs.
Right. So each piece, are those blackberries?
Yes.
Yeah. And that's something that even in urban areas, like I used to work down at the abandoned car lot, along the Fraser River there, Marine Drive and Knight, and there were bushes there throughout, you know, and people would come down in the summer, and pick them.
That's right, blackberry jam and blackberry. Yeah. I make blackberry liqueur, and you could do lots with blackberries. They were fabulous this year, the blackberries.
A little bit goes a long way for me, though, but...
yeah. Well, you just, you know, or blackberry pie. Someone has to make it, and you put whipped cream on it.
That's right, yeah. You mentioned the art books, and my understanding is that there's another volume in the Unheralded Artists of BC series, the 10th, and I also hear it's the last one. Why is it the last one?
The last one because it's they're enormous projects. They've just taken the wind out of me, and they're very costly. And I don't get the funding for those kind of books. It's just far too much work for a one woman run press.
Yeah.
And I mean, I love doing it. I've had amazing adventures, and I think I'll be writing about that in small essays. But it's been unbelievable, my journey, you know, on fantastic art trails and sleuthing. But it's just more than a small press can handle.
Yeah.
Really, and I wanted to get to 10, so 10's a good number.
And I've got the 9 previous ones on the shelf here, just close to me.
And it's coming.
And then I've got the Kurt Lang book that Claudia Cornwall did, and then Trevor Carolyn's book on the literary storefront.
Yeah.
I mean, the work that you've done, Mona, and it sounds like I'm sucking up or patronizing you, but it's tremendous service, not only for those of us who love British Columbia and who value our artists. But I can't imagine what it'll be like for future generations to turn to these resources that you've created here and
Thank
championed.
You very much.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, I mean, these are people that a lot of us didn't know about.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was really important for me to work on and to continue to work on books that are, for me, I felt there was absences, you know, in our literary culture, our art culture, and I wish I just had a bigger team and or some better funding. You know, it's just been too much of a struggle.
Yeah.
And but I've enjoyed it, and I hope people will find them, you know, and maybe things will evolve. I hope to do something for all 10 of them next year. Maybe the Historical Society of Vancouver is interested. I'm not sure. But some kind of event just to sort of celebrate the whole series.
Yeah. Because a lot of these, as I said, a lot of them we wouldn't know about, and you not only rescued their names and provided them a place for their work to shine finally, because it needed to. Mm-hmm. But they're marvelous stories. Like, I think of, because I've had a number of them on as they came out, and, you know, there was one, the one that Peter Busby did.
Oh, yes, Jack Aykroyd.
Yeah, I mean, there's stuff there that's... you know, gaps in the life of Aykroyd that are gone. And had they been done sooner, the book been done sooner, a more fuller picture would have emerged of the guy.
Yes. Well, that's the thing, is catching people before they pass.
Yeah.
A lot of us are getting on, older. So some of us have memories, long memories, and have some of these stories. So it's important, I think, to catch them, because the world is turning so quickly.
Isn't it? Yeah.
It's just too fast, I find. It's too much happening, you know, and that's why it's good to get away, sit on the beach, and just reflect. You know, we don't reflect enough sometimes.
Yeah. And Carrie Mason is the author of the next one.
Yes, the last one, The Life and Art of Arthur Pitt. And we launch this Sunday in Victoria at the Victoria College of Art.
Uh-huh.
And then on the 18th at the Salt Spring Library. And so she's going to be presenting an illustrated talk. And the books will arrive in the warehouse shortly.
The one thing I want to ask you, because some of them, like Aykroyd, had died like 20 years before all of this.
Yeah.
And your father George, he passed away before. There were a couple, I think, that they had known that the book was coming out.
The
one that just came out last year, right?
Mary Filer, she was ill, but she did see the cover, and she passed away not long after.
Yeah.
Frank Molnar, he's still alive, but they're all gone.
So I mean, were you able to talk to Mary or Jack about these books?
Frank Molnar, yes. He's been really supportive, and we visit him once in a while. He's still painting.
Uh-huh.
And then Mary, I never met her. I was going to, but my author did. Talked to her several times and visited her, so I was pleased that that could happen. But there's so much material out there, and it's just incredible. It's really a rich area to tap, but it does need a bigger team.
there isn't the institutional support, and that's a shame. Whether it's government or organizations, but I mean,
If I could just say a few things.
Please.
Publishers get funding from Canada Council and the BC Arts Council.
Mm-hmm.
And the funding isn't for full-color books with all this research. Not for small literary press like myself. They're usually for, smaller book, not color.
Mm-hmm.
And so the university presses usually have more money, but no one's really interested in the non-famous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the whole problem with our society. It's it's a commodity. Fame is a commodity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, becomes too much. I might have a little. If I have a little festival here ever, and that's a crazy thought, but it would be not famous, not famous authors.
Well, no, that makes sense because too often.
Yeah.
All the big events or the events that in CanLit, for example.
Yeah.
Overlooked so many marvelous, talented people. I mean, there's a place for big literary events, obviously.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They can, but I'd have one under the wire. You know.
Yeah.
But it's all to do with promotion and publicity. Sometimes that scale is tipped too far in that way.
Yeah. Well, that'd be a great excuse for all of us to go to Salt Spring, wouldn't it?
I know. But that's, you never know.
Yeah.
You never know.
Yeah.
And we'll have you over and you can interview.
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else have you, there's another book that you've just published this fall.
It's Teresa Kishkan's fabulous
uh-huh.
book of essays called Euclid's Orchard,
uh-huh.
Other Essays, and it just came out, and we had a few events, and we had a big launch in Seychelles, and Munro's books with Bill Gaston, and the essay form I really find fascinating, and very, very, it's quite fluid.
Yeah.
It could be used. Many ways. So then I have a bunch planned for a few planned for next year.
Yeah. Yeah. So I mean, even though the Unheralded series is ending, you're still publishing books, and you've got great titles that you're working on, aren't you?
Yeah. I am. But I'm going to slow down a little bit. It's just time to maybe do some of my own writing.
Yeah, I remember
but
that.
I'll keep at it, but the art books take a huge amount of time and effort, and
mm-hmm.
so that'll, I think, give me a little more time, personal time.
Yeah, that book that you wrote on your dad.
Yeah.
Marvelous, beautiful book.
Yeah, that was a big, big effort, and I was pleased to have done it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, these artists do deserve the attention, but I mean, it's a piece of writing on your part.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was a very beautiful book.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we carry on, and we wait for summer.
Yeah. It seems like such a long way away, though, isn't it?
No, it is. We're going to go to the hibernating period now, which is good. And then we'll go back. We want to go back to savory more.
Yeah. Yeah, it's my understanding from what you've told me about it. I looked it up too after you told me about it this past summer. It's a beautiful place.
It is beautiful, and it's a very interesting place. It's not, it's a summer place.
Uh-huh.
It is a summer place.
Yeah.
And people say, why are you going to another island? And a smaller one, why?
Yeah.
Well, it's just escape from the world. Just crazy. Mad.
Yeah. The other thing, and I'm sure that this happens in other parts of the province, because we're talking about it a lot here in Vancouver, just how bloody expensive it is to live here.
Yes.
Yet we all stay, because it's so special, isn't it?
It is special, and, Vancouver, it's hard for people to find a place.
Uh-huh.
But even Salt Spring, we have a big housing crisis. It's terrible, but, it is special. It's a special place, and I think it's also quite a lively, creative place,
Yeah, and it's something that we all have to fight for, don't we?
Mm-hmm. We do.
Yeah.
We can't let down our guard, because it'll be gone,
snapped
up. And,
you did your part there on Salt Spring with the referendum, right?
Yes, it was pretty, we won, and it was so incredible. And the campaign was called Positively No.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you have to say no.
Yeah.
So we're not going to become a municipality, thank God.
Yeah. Well, the family? All's well with the family?
All's well with the family, yep. And, yeah, everyone's doing good. And Peter planted tons of garlic this summer. He just put a new batch in it. You plant it in fall, and you take it out in June.
Yeah.
And he's big on his gardens. And, yep, Salt Spring is great to be here. And you'll have to come and visit.
I will, yeah, definitely. Is he working on another book?
Well, yes, he is, little bits and pieces, and I'm telling him to, you know, make that time, because it's hard to get distracted with so much to do, but he is working on it, and he has a lot of fans here on Salt Spring. They all love it.
Oh, I'll bet, yeah.
He talks to everyone. I mean, it's a small island.
Uh-huh.
But some people come by. Someone came by this morning and for him to sign his book, so... That was really great.
Yeah, Liverpool Lad, for people listening, is definitely a book to get because, as Mona just said, Peter's a charming, effervescent guy, and that comes throughout that book from when he was a kid and his growing up there in Liverpool.
Yeah.
Great stories and an entertaining book. And I remember I had him on when that came out, and I think I spent an hour with him here in my office. I wanted more of that book. So, yeah, you tell him. You play publisher. And
I know. I cracked the whip.
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah, cracked that whip. I said, get going on. Well, he'll do more this winter. So
Yeah. And you guys will be out here in Vancouver throughout the fall and winter?
No, don't plan on coming to the city at all. Don't know when.
Well, we'll get together again. I so much enjoyed our time, too brief time that we had last year,
that
when you guys
were
in town and we were at the Sylvia there.
Yes, that was great. That was great. Yeah. Well, you'll have to come here.
Yeah, I'm due for a visit. We'll do. Yeah. But until then, people ought to pick up the summer book. It's just a charming collection, and. You know, we need a little bit of summer this time of year, don't we?
Yeah, we do. And it's in the BC book. It's the Books for Everyone BC edition, the catalog that all the independent booksellers have, and people can pick it up.
It's a great Christmas gift idea, isn't it?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Dream, you can dream.
Yeah. Well, say, I mentioned this in the introduction, the plaque at 131 Water Street. I haven't been down there to see it, but I understand you have.
I have, with my daughter and a friend, and it took a bit to find because it faces the road, so cars can kind of see it. But we found it, and it was quite amazing because it's sort of a shock to see it, but because I'm not dead. But it was quite an honor. It's great. It's quite an honor, and so I'll be there. Young forever on the post.
Yeah. The I went on the website to see where all these other plaques are throughout the city.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad that they're doing this because we do have a rich literary history, as we were talking earlier, and we're not doing enough to remember it, and this is one way to do that.
That's right. No, that's important. I think it's a great idea. And, I hope they just continue to do it, you know?
Yeah. Well, I'll have to get a selfie down there, and I'll tweet it at you.
Okay.
Because I haven't seen it myself, and it'd be great, you know?
That would be great, yes.
Yeah.
It's in front of the pizza place or something there.
Yeah. Well, you know, it does bring back memories, doesn't it, going down there for you?
I did. We went there, and actually that square is, I hadn't been there for a long time. The literary storefront was upstairs. It's offices now.
Yeah.
And broken up into offices, and it's quite... dreary looking, but it's still got the big iron fence that we had to, you know, have opened for events at night, and, you know, it's not a shop, it's not, you know, public shops anymore, but just offices, but anyway, it was, a long time ago.
Yeah. And then Alex Waterhouse Hayward, he found that photo of you online with Sylvia Beach,
with a bunch of coroner's photos or something.
Yeah. Glenn McDonald. Yeah, you ended up in the Glenn McDonald file.
Yes, that was neat to see.
Yeah.
That photograph.
Yeah, so the great photographer, Alex, for people listening to this, Alex Waterhouse Hayward, a great photographer in this town,
yes,
has done marvelous work throughout the 70s, 80s, and 90s, and even up to recently, taking photos of notable people. And I guess the right after the opening of the Literary Storefront, he came down there to shoot you for, he used to work for The Sun and the Vancouver Magazine and a bunch of other publications, and he must have gone down there and shot you that day.
Well, I think he said he found it in that file.
Yeah.
I don't know if he took it, but
he must have been in the area because the coroner was in that part of town.
Okay.
So he must have been there.
Okay.
He must have been there that day, and then he had this photograph. It was he was posting photos of Glenn McDonald, the famed coroner here in Vancouver,
yes,
and he said he'd found this photo and he wanted to know who it was. And I saw it, and I said, well, that's Mona.
That's great. I know. That was so funny. Yeah, there I look. I think it was the day after the big opening.
Yeah.
That was, yeah, like 200 people came. You know, it was so great.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, well, that was neat.
That was, yeah. Well, and again, it shows just how much a part you've been of not only this town but this province and the important work that you do. And, you know, I'm proud to know you and call you a friend. And I just wish you and Peter all the best in all the work that you continue to do. And I really do hope. I mean, I remember Alan Twigg wrote and said that, you know, you're in deserve of a lot more recognition from this province, and it's a shame that it hasn't happened sooner. And I really do hope it happens because you've done just a tremendous service for all of us.
Oh, thanks so much. That's really helped. Those little things and those big comments and all help me carry on upstairs in my room,
yeah.
Upstairs in my office with my cats.
Yeah, we'll let you get back to work, Mona. It's nice to talk again.
Okay, great to talk to you.
We'll see each other soon, I hope.
Yes, we will.
My best to Peter, too.
Yeah, thanks.
MotherTonguePublishing.com is the website. The summer book, A Treasury of Warm Tales, Timeless Memories and Meditations on Nature by 24 BC writers, is published by Mother Tongue Publishing. Do pick it up. It's this is a marvelous book year-round, and especially this time of year when it's cold and dreary. It's nice to pick this up. Pick it up anywhere. We open it up anywhere and get lost in summer. In all of these unique places in this province, whether you're from here or not, it's a great place to visit, and this book's a great place to start. Mona Fertig, join me on the line from Salt Spring Island in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plata.